In this podcast, I'm in discussion with Alan Seal. Alan is an author and a truly inspirational speaker. His latest book is titled Transformational Presence, and the subtitle is How to Make a Difference in a Rapidly Changing World. There could hardly be a more relevant title in this time as we live in lockdown across the USA, Europe, and much of the rest of the world caused by this pandemic. Leaders are currently facing the dual challenge of not only considering how do they ensure the survival of their companies, but what will the future look like as this lockdown starts to ease and beyond. Here is the discussion.
Years ago when I lived in New York City, I would have visions of some kind of crisis in the city that was not a 9/11. And I didn't know what that was, but it's like, and here we are, here we are. So that's, and who would have ever imagined that it was everywhere in the world, that it was everywhere in the world?
No, who would have imagined it? And interesting, I've spoken to maybe 30 chairmen in the last few months, and actually it started before the virus hit, because it's for a white paper on the role of the CEO. And of course, since it hit, I've asked them how many of them had global pandemic in their risk register, because corporate governance says that it's a big responsibility of boards to look at their risk registers and consider how they deal with it. But I haven't come across a single chairman that said global pandemic was in the top 10 risks for their organizations. In fact, the only person I've heard talk about it was that there was a YouTube clip of Bill Gates talking about it a few years ago, saying this was the biggest threat to the world. It wasn't nuclear war or famine. It was a global pandemic. So, you know, there are some people who've thought about it, but not many in the corporate world.
Well, and how interesting to be asking that question, or coming from the perspective of a threat versus, wow, the planet has decided it's time to take care of herself. And so here's how we're going to do it, you know? And within 3 weeks, we can sweep the whole globe and shut everything down and bring the world to its knees. And I look at that not as a punishment, not as some horrible thing that's happened to us, but rather there's a message here. It's an invitation. It's saying, hello, pay attention. It's not working. It's not working. It's not sustainable. And so it's time to press the reset button.
I think that's right. And there is some sense of understanding some element of that, I think. And the beauty of talking to you is this is a fundamental part of what I've learned from you over the past few years, that there is a future waiting to emerge.
It's one thing that, yes, a lot of people are sort of wondering this, feeling this, it's sort of there. And it's quite another thing to bring that fully forward in the mass consciousness, in the mass media, in the into the main conversation, because it's not there. And that to me is one of the biggest concerns right now, is that the mass conversation, the conversation that's out there that most people are taking part in, is all about just getting it fixed and going back to how it was before. And if that's what we do, then we will indeed have a huge resurgence of the virus again next year, because obviously we didn't take the message. If we take the message, the virus doesn't need to come back.
That's powerful.
Yeah. That's been a huge learning for me in my life, that when the big lessons come, when the big crisis comes in whatever aspect of our own lives, if we pay attention right then and respond and listen to what's we're being asked, then things can move through relatively with some relative grace and ease, you know? And when we refuse, when we push it away, then it comes back again a little bigger the next time because it didn't get our attention. Well, here's our chance. This has our attention. Now, what will we do with it?
And our work is with leaders who are, they're steered towards pragmatic solutions. The governance of their organization demands that of them. Mm-hmm. Their teams expect that of them. They're wanting them to lead a clear route to a solution for this, whether it's protecting the company from a massive cash flow exit and having enough money to keep going, or it's to set a new vision for the future of those organizations. So people can follow that. They've got something tangible that they can latch onto, and it will help them define their own roles. So this is the challenge of how to slow down enough to be able to see the immersive potential.
There's a really important word that you said there. It's either to handle the practicalities, the things that need to be addressed right away for survival, or to make a vision. It's not or. It's both. And a huge key to me of what you're talking about, it's not about saying forget about the practicalities. No, there's some immediate needs that must be taken care of. However, what is our come from place? If we're coming from the place of that's our job is just to take care of that and help everybody feel safe and secure and whatever, all those things, then we've missed the big message here. If instead we're looking at there's something else we're being asked for, there's some things that need to be taken care of right away, yet our focus must still be guided by this bigger picture. So it's not or, it's both and. And which one are you standing in? Am I standing in fix it, or am I standing in there's something else that's wanting to happen now?
And how do we enable leaders who spent their whole careers being successful at fixing problems and going after opportunities which can be proven that they exist through market research analysis and, you know, cash flow statements, profit and loss, SWOT analysis? How can we help them step back enough in order to allow the emerging future to appear?
A couple of things that come to me when you ask that question. One is first just inviting them into a bigger picture view, into this thing, this sense, even that, as I wrote to you about, that this is what's happening is not happening to us. Mm. It is happening through us. Mm. And so we are a part of what's happening, not the victim of what's happening. Mm-hmm. And to come in from that place, then secondly, to acknowledge how strong leadership has functioned until now, and to acknowledge the enormous courage that it will take to perhaps look a different direction. Are you willing to step into that courage? Let's walk together side by side. I will help you. I will be here with you. And it doesn't all have to be done today or this week or this month or this year. Yet it is an enormous shift in the global paradigm that we are now being asked to make. And so do you want to be one of the leaders on the leading edge of that? Or do you want to be one of the ones who's trying to fix it and make it back how it was before? Again, acknowledging we're asking you for huge courage. And we're here to wrap our arms around you and our hearts around you and our love around you and say, come on, we can do this. It will take all of us together. It will take all of us together. Mm.
And it's an enormous change for leaders in where they put their attention, how they use their energy. So how do we help them take the first steps to do that?
So first, just that permission, not just from us, but from themselves, to stop and to recognize that nobody has ever been where we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, please be gentle with yourself and let go of the expectation that you should know what to do. No one has ever been here. And so if we go back to old times when there were explorers in the wilderness, now that happens on the moon or something, you know, but not as much on our earth. But back in those times, when we go to that explorer energy, and the explorers knew that there were signals everywhere. And they had to pay attention to those signals in order to be safe. And those signals, we work in transformational presence with these four archetypes, the seer, the explorer, the co-creator, and the ambassador. And the explorer has to have really good seer skills. Seeing being not just eyes, but your whole perception, on engaging all of your senses to perceive what's happening around you.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first is to immediately start honing those seer skills to then walk out into the wilderness as the explorer. Because where we're going, it's into the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And yet, there's something waiting for us in that wilderness. There's something that is wanting to happen to take us to a whole other place here. And so if we can trust that there is something that is calling us into that wilderness and keep listening and sensing and feeling, then there's the first step. And that's a practice that doesn't happen overnight. It's not something I can just read a book about and now it's finished.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's a practice. And we start today. And then tomorrow we practice some more. And the next day we practice some more. And we start to find that these skills are inherent within us. This is a part of how our human energy system is wired. It's just that we've separated ourselves from that.
Mm.
So the more we practice, the faster it all starts to come. And it's not so unfamiliar after all.
So how do we start to reconnect with that?
So I want to invite a shift in the first word of that question, because we ask a lot of how questions.
Mm-hmm.
And those how questions bring a block immediately.
Mm.
Because it feels enormous.
Mm.
When we ask how, it just feels huge. And so we're paralyzed. We need to replace the question how with the question, what is the next step?
Mm.
So what is a first step, or what is a next step in opening that awareness within us? And so it's things like taking a walk and noticing textures and colors and how it feels different in the bushes than it does out in the open space. And to notice how the energy of that tiny bird is different than the energy of the hawk that's flying overhead. It's tuning in to this natural world. We are a part of the natural world. It's just that we've kind of separated ourselves from that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a start. I mean, when I'm working with leaders, we do a huge exercise of working with the room and then playing with a slideshow of images that's are purposely designed. It's all photographs that I took, but purposely designed so that you can't always tell what it is. And that's the point. Tap into, notice the texture, the energy, the feeling in it before you're trying to identify it. It doesn't matter what it is. There's other information here. Because as soon as you name it, you've already put it in a box. It's that and it can't be anything else.
Mm.
And so here we are with the world. As soon as we put any experience in a box and name it that, then we've stuck it into some compartment of our past context. We're in a moment right now that is trying to show us an entirely new context, an entirely new context for what life means and for what engagement means and for what it means to be together as a global community. Something I wrote to you was, I mean, I've become more and more aware of how all of our social structures are constructs.
Hmm.
We think of all these big companies, we think of them as being so real. Well, how is it that in 3 weeks' time, they're all struggling to see if they can survive?
Yeah.
They were these behemoths, you know, and all of a sudden, they're incredibly vulnerable. Well, everything is a construct that we've made in this societal world. If we listen and sense and feel, we can begin moving towards creating different constructs that are truly serving and supporting us in a different way. It's become so clear in the last years that the earth cannot sustain this continued growth and growth and growth and growth and growth. It's not about that.
Yeah.
But what if the earth can sustain incredible growth inside of us? If we are growing who we are, if we are growing how we engage with one another and how we support one another, that's a different kind of economy. And there can be just as much money that flows, but it's a different focus. And so I call her Madam Corona. Madam Corona is she's here to actually give us this huge gift to say, hello, it's not working.
Yeah.
So we're just going to stop everything. And it's stopping the conversation, Lloyd. It's this. Everything that's going on in the world, you can think of that as just, there's this huge conversation going on. We make agreements and we all play by certain rules of that conversation and all those things. And that conversation just got stopped. And what a gift. And it's scary as hell. And what a gift.
I get completely that leaders and all of us, you know, we're all leaders in different ways.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to be leaders of a big company. You can be a leader of a family or a relationship and...
Or of your own life.
Any relationship. Both are leaders. So, you know, we're all leaders. So the question is, what will people notice when the emerging future starts to show itself?
Hmm.
So the original question was a how one. It's how will they see what the potential is?
So let's answer actually both of those questions. How will they see demands that we slow down, that we stop, so that information has a chance to get in?
Mm.
Because otherwise, we have to have another pandemic to hit us over the head.
Yeah.
So we have to stop. Now the what will we notice? I can't tell you what that picture looks like, but what I can tell you is that we begin to sense there's something new. We begin to sense that it's different than what we've done before. We begin to sense that that's going to take an entirely different construct, if we use that word, to create that. We can easily become overwhelmed by what that might mean to do that. And we notice if we are quiet enough and honest enough with ourselves, we also notice that there's some place inside that is saying, yes, 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 go there. It's that we talk all the time with leaders about that in our work around when you get the answer that you don't want to hear, and yet somewhere inside of you is breathing more easily. Somewhere inside of you knows that's the place we have to go. On the surface, it's really scary. But down underneath, you kind of know that is the next place. That is the next place.
Are you talking about a different intelligence here within us? Because, of course, most of us in the corporate world, we rely on the head intelligence, the logic,
yeah,
the rationale to work things out.
Yes.
What I'm hearing you talk about is a different intelligence altogether.
It's the heart intelligence. It's an intuitive intelligence. It's a body intelligence. It's all of that. The Institute of Heart Math in California is doing this incredible research on the intelligence of the heart and the intuitive mind, and understanding that the intuitive mind is the larger mind.
Mm.
The intellect, which is very important, but it's just one part that much larger intuitive mind. And they each have a different function. Both are essential. But to understand that we've put all of our focus on the intellect, which in fact is quite limited in its ability to reach out into the energy field or into the consciousness of what's going on and gather information. And so it gets overloaded and overwhelmed and overtaxed really quickly. The intuitive mind, the center is in the heart. In the heart math research, it says that the electromagnetic field of the heart energy center is 5,000 times bigger than the electromagnetic field of the brain, which is the seat of the intellect. And so what that's saying to me is that the field of information that the heart can access is 5,000 times bigger than the field of information from the intellect. So the heart is really good at reaching out and gathering information. It's not very good at organizing that information. That's what the intellect is good at. So the heart needs the intellect to organize, but the intellect needs the heart to reach much, much further out to know what's going on. And so what we're talking about here is a shift from in our society, we start with the intellect. Maybe we engage the heart a little bit here and there to kind of soften the edges. And we need to flip that around. That we start from that heart intelligence or the intuitive intelligence to gather information and let the intellect organize that information. And we begin to work from a much bigger set of facts, of information. There's much more available to us from that place.
And of course, we're not used to accessing that intelligence, so we have to slow down in order to allow it to start talking to us.
And yet, in another way, we're very used to it. We just don't acknowledge it. When you decide what you want to eat today, that's not from your intellect. You know, that your body's talking to you, you know, or to know, I just need to get some exercise right now. That's your body talking to you, not your intellect. We use that all the time, but we don't acknowledge it. And so that's a starting place. And to tap into that place in our, you know, from our work together, the transformational presence work is filled with tools that help you cross that bridge without realizing you're crossing a bridge, you know, and then suddenly there's much more available to you in your awareness. And one of the things that we will notice is fear and anxiety among people who don't understand where we're going or are so attached to things being a certain way for all kinds of reasons. And so what I want to say about that is the importance of acknowledging the fear, the importance of acknowledging the anxiety, the unknown, and to let that be okay. And to say, and we have an invitation here. So if you listen to that fear, if you drop down under that fear, what's it really about? And fear fundamentally will be about a fear of losing something. What will I lose? And what if there actually is something else that might come along that would make that no longer so relevant, you know? But all this is to say is that one of the first things when this pandemic hit that I started writing about was acknowledge what you feel. You don't have to let what you feel control you, but it's really important that you acknowledge it and let it be there. And when we're working with these leaders, to let them know there's all kinds of stuff going on inside of them. We need to let all of that be okay. All of that be okay. And now let's find our way.
Who should they acknowledge that to?
Well, that's where the role of coaches, I think, is so important, because I know that you experience this as well. When the people that we're sitting with, they say something to us and you realize they have probably not said this to anybody else. Or we provide a space for them to share things that they don't have that space for anywhere else. It gets very lonely the farther you go up and the fewer people that you can talk to. And for all kinds of reasons. And so it's creating a safe space for that.
What should leaders see as their role in these uncertain times?
Yeah, that's such an important question. Their role is to listen.
Mm.
Their role is to stop and look and listen and sense and then respond to what's coming. And that is so contradictory to what we're taught about what is leadership. And to, when we talk about that stop, look, listen, sense, engaging that in mind, paying attention to everything that's going on around us, that doesn't necessarily need to be for hours or days or weeks. Sometimes it's 2 minutes. Yeah. Person with that title of leader, their job is to listen, sense, and feel to that, and then translate that to the people that they are leading,
mm-hmm.
and to then help their people develop those skills and capacities to also stop, look, listen, sense. Yeah. So it's building a whole different also expectation among people of what do we expect of our leaders. Right now, we're expecting our leaders to do the impossible because nobody's been here before.
Mm.
We don't have any answers. I don't know the way forward, but let's go find it out together. And so when we can empower leaders to say, for it to be okay for them to say, I don't know, let's find out.
Brilliant.
That's someone I can trust much better than the one who always has the answer.
And I'm sensing that in order to create space for this work, leaders are going to have to let go of something to give them the best chance of understanding this future potential. How do you think they do that?
Again, it's what is the next step? And so to be aware of the immediate assumptions they make of what they're supposed to do right now, the immediate expectations that are there, and simply be curious, is that relevant right now? Does that actually serve right now? It's being willing to come into that place that when we're leading in complexity, so much that I've been working with around leading complexity versus leading in something that is complicated or very linear.
Mm.
Because we're living in a world now that is complete complexity, and there's very little about it that is linear, yet there are aspects that are linear. So in leading in complexity, it's realizing that it's not ever about finding the immediate answer. It's about recognizing there's so many layers, there's so many things, moving pieces, so much going on all at the same time. And so there are three questions that I often bring to the people that I'm serving. And the first question is, what feels most important to pay attention to right now?
Mm.
What's most important to pay attention to right now? The second question, what am I or what are we being asked to learn right now? And the third question, therefore, where do we put our focus today or this week or whatever the time frame is? It shifts everything away from always moving towards a result or getting a solution into a much more fluid process of evolution and growth and possibility unfolding. And while in the beginning it may feel like, oh my gosh, that takes longer, that is slowing everything down, actually, it will start to speed everything up because now we're setting the energy free to lead us instead of us trying to hold on to it and control it and manipulate to get a specific result that we think we want.
Leaders right now are unbelievably busy. Their diaries are full of video calls, talking to employees who are worried, shareholders who are worried, suppliers, their teams. What do you think their personal agenda, their time schedules, to give themselves the chance to sense the emerging future? Can you give some flavor to that? Can you help paint a picture of what that might look like?
So I feel like that there are different layers of that. One is to start with whatever that practice is that can be for them, which can be as simple as before you get out of bed in the morning, just lie there for another 2 minutes and feel the bed holding you and feel the covers on your skin and feel the warmth under the covers and perhaps the cool air on the outside. And to be aware of your breath as it comes in and goes out.
Mm.
And listen to the sounds, even when it's very quiet, but there are still layers of sounds. Just pay attention. 2 minutes, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
And then out of bed and begin your day. Every 2 hours, you pause for 60 seconds and feel the clothes on your skin and feel the your body sitting in the chair or your body walking if you're walking down a hallway or walking from one place to another. But feel that sense of the physical presence of your body, and to feel the breath as it comes in and goes out, and focus your attention on that breath to let it find its own natural rhythm, and listen to the sounds. 60 seconds. Go on with your day. To keep practicing that, within a few days, you begin to notice something. You have to commit to the practice. Because everything that we're talking about in this shift for leadership, it's a practice. It's not going to happen overnight. And we have to look at it in terms of percentages, that, you know, at the end of the day that you say, wow, so today I was actually able to listen from a calm and clear place 5% of the time. Okay, great. That's a step forward. And maybe the next day it's 10%, and the next day it's 30%, and then the next day it's back to 20%. You know, it's like we have ups and downs, but we just keep being gentle with ourselves and persistent at the same time. So that's one piece. A second piece that comes to me is to be honest with the people that you serve, that we are in unprecedented times and I don't have the answers, nor do you, nor does anyone. And in order to be with these unprecedented times, I am choosing to take an hour in the morning to just be quiet and listen, to be quiet and sense where we are, what is trying to get our attention, what is opening up for us. And I'm taking a half an hour in the middle of the day to go for a walk in order to listen and to sense, to pay attention to what is it that is so important for us right now to focus on. And I invite you, all the people that they serve, I invite you to find that space for yourself, not find, to create that space for yourself, to also be still, listen, sense, feel what's important for you to pay attention to right now. And in some moment, that might be your family instead of what's happening in this company. And we have to make space for that too. So that we're holding the whole person.
And this doesn't sound too arduous here. I mean, this sounds like a version of mindfulness.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't sound like it's too difficult, other than if it's not led by the person in charge, then it could be difficult for people to have the comfort of taking that time out of their strenuous daily protect the company activities.
But if that is coming from the top, and to know that it's not only a permission, it's actually in a way an expectation that you are taking care of yourself and you are helping take care of our company by being quiet. The last stage here then for the leader, when we talk about how and the what is the next step, is to in fact be courageous enough to say to your board, to say to your people, yes, I'm taking this day in silence. I'll be away in whatever place, I will be there to just listen and sense and feel and find the next steps for us. Or I'm taking these 3 days, and maybe part of that is the weekend. It's okay, whatever that is. But it's up to the leaders to make this kind of reflective engagement with leadership to make that okay. And in fact, to encourage it and help people to recognize the truth is that's the only way we're going to find our way forward in truly a way that serves a bigger picture, that is sustainable, that lifts all of us up and lifts the planet up and carries us forward.
You've been working on transformational presence for many years, and you've written many books on the subject. Where does this fit into the overall environment of transformational presence?
Yeah, it's where it begins. that to me, there's a mentoring program that we offer for people in leading and facilitating transformational presence work. And one of the things that we talk about in that is what are your non-negotiables? Mm. So that my meditation time in the morning, that's a non-negotiable. It doesn't happen at precisely the same time every morning, but it happens within the first 3 hours that I'm up, that I begin my day. Within that first 3 hours, there will be time that is spent in silence and reflection. And that is most of the time a sitting practice, but not always. Sometimes it's a walk in the nature. So it's not about, there's no rules about what it has to look like. The only rule that I would put there is that there has to be silence. Because it's in the silence that we start to connect the dots, that things start to come together, that the next insight or awareness comes, that sort of download suddenly of a whole other insight shows up. That rarely happens in the busyness and craziness of the day. Yeah. That happens in the silence. And so it's paying attention for yourself as a leader and encouraging your people as well in the most authentic way. What are the non-negotiables for you? This must be there in order for me to be the most effective and authentic and inspiring leader for the people that I serve.
That was Alan Seal in Boston at the end of April 2020, talking to me, Lloyd Wigglesworth, in London during this extraordinary world pandemic and the many challenges leaders are facing during these very uncertain times. Many thanks to Alan Seal.